So anyhow, I will bring that.
During the bowl. Yeah, why don't you? Yeah. Do that right now.
I'm way in the. It's nice when you're close to
Thank you. From last year, I thought everybody could have a copy of that.
Somebody point out one of them. Thank you.
You're working awful hard there today. I need to get down to visit you guys.
Carpenter.
Great. Yeah.
He lives in the same section. Might have got that.
Are you kidding?
No, right there on 41.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's 8:45. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise. Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held September 5th. Approved claims through September 9th in the amount of $520,114.89. Approved place on file correspondence received. Approved district court summary fee report for the month of August. Approve receiving additional county inventory sheets. Approve register of deeds report for the month of August. Approve specs and call for bids on 2012-2013 snow removal for the courthouse, jail, sheriff's office, veterans office, and parking lots. Bids to be open October 3rd at 9:15 a.m. And that's it.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with the clarification that on item number 3, it is September 19th, not September 9th, as stated.
Okay. With the approved correction.
Oh, and I would like to pull a claim for Setzer's Manufacturing off of the claims to be considered separately.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second that motion.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Motion on the Setzer claim.
I make a motion to approve the claim. I don't have the number. I don't remember what it was to approve the claim for Setzer Manufacturing.
Okay. Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 6 in favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer abstaining for the above stated reason. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Adam, is that what you wanted?
Yeah, I just like one.
Oh, no, it's not that easy. Name and address for the record.
Name and address?
Yeah, that's what she says that is required.
Adam Greenquist, Lincoln, Nebraska. Just I'm with Caterpillar, and I have no really agenda. Just wanted to stop by, show my face, see how things are going, any questions I could maybe answer going forward. So.
Terry's Road and Bridge Chairman. You know, get with Terry if there's concerns and interest on anything. And, you know, that's where it starts. Mark Minnelli's the Acting Highway Superintendent. Deborah behind you there is the office manager.
Okay.
So that's, you know, I know there's needs coming up down the road. I just don't know what they are.
Down the road we're going to. I was just going to tell you all the John Deere equipment's running good.
Oh, no, Caterpillar, I mean.
I hear that one every now and then.
No, I don't. But down the road, we have some things that we have to be looking at, yeah. So.
Well, I just like to show my face, not always when we're trying to get a bid, but just pop in periodically. So. All
right. Appreciate you being
Thank
here.
You.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? Mark, do you have a report? Or is it Terry going to do the report?
Well, what I'd like to do, Rex, is today introduced from down at the county office, Deborah Marshall Brown. She's been in the system now for probably how long, Deborah?
Almost 6 months.
Time flies. But anyway, I want to say she's done an excellent job. Everything's working well down there in Galen's absence. So I wanted to introduce her today to the full board, and she briefly go through a few of the projects that is going on down there. So,
good morning. It's nice to meet all of you finally. Thank you. One of our projects that I always kind of mention in the report, and you have it in front of you, and it's on page 2, and under items of discussion, we have our Wymore project. That's our new bridge. And I always try to give some updated information about what's going on there. Today's an important day, not only for rock and gravel bids, but also we are accepting the low bid and need signatures for a resolution to be sent back to the Department of Roads today. It has to be in their office today, so I'm going to encourage you to sign that so I can get that back. And I'll send the original to them in the mail. Our Philly North project acquisitions are moved forward. And it looks good. We have just very minor changes on which will actually save a little bit of money on our acquisition. So that's moving forward, and we're going to actually stake a little bit of the construction limits and right away so that the landowners can see where that limit is. And so far we've got everyone looking like they're going to sign. So it's really a positive thing. The Adams project, they did have a few amendments on culverts. We've added a couple to them, so we've got to add that to our environmental report and have Spies Lewis update and get those culverts on there. Really, those are our three projects we have right now, and we're glad to have them. Those are great federal projects that we have here in the county. So, any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank Mark, you. Anything?
Morning.
I'm going to go set this down.
Good idea.
Thanks, Deb. You did a good job. The in Waymore job, the low bid, which is on your agenda after bid, is Simon's Contracting. Four bids, they were all tight. Simon's is a very good contractor, and I wouldn't hesitate at all to have them working in our
county.
Where
are they out of?
Simons?
Iowa?
Simons is a huge company. These guys would be out west in Nebraska. They have Nebraska divisions.
Are they the one doing the Blair Bridge at the same time?
That I don't know. I can't answer that. So they've got a couple of jobs working for Minnelli Wagner and other parts, and I'm assuming their crews will come over when they get those jobs done. So we do a lot of work with
them. What was the bid? Do you know exactly?
$1,238,871. The next bid was Herbst Construction, which is an Iowa firm, which was $1,299,587. So they were very, very close, very competitive. And then the next two are real close to those. So, Devin mentioned the Philly North right-of-way is going well. We're going to do some staking on a couple of tracks for some people, so that's actually working out excellent. The people have been very receptive to that. That's a good project. And Adams North is proceeding. So those three Fair Lay jobs are scheduled. They're in the mill. We're hitting all the key dates. Kudos to Deb. She stepped in. She's tentatively the RC. She's got one class to take, which isn't offered till February, March. Then she'll be official, but right now they're letting her active go while Galen's absence. So,
timeline on that? Not timeline. Just update us after you do the acquisitions. Then what? I mean, or what
for the
Philly project? Yeah,
I believe it's scheduled for 2013 letting.
Okay.
So it'll be probably a spring letting if everything gets in and submitted. I believe it's scheduled for spring letting, and then sometime next summer construction. And then the Adams, I believe, is 2000, either the fall or 14. So there's very few counties that have three federal aid bridges in the mill like this, so we're very fortunate. So,
and what's on the shelf behind these? What do we have for federal aid after these are done?
Well, I mean, as far as the program goes, this is all that's programmed. That basically, the Department of Roads is taking the projects that they've accepted that were this far along, and the buyback will start. So this money comes out of the BR fund, the Bridge Replacement Fund. That money is part of that buyback with the STP funds.
So terminology as federal aid will no longer exist in the road department then?
There will be BRO money, Bridge Replacement Off-System money, that the state can't buy back because they don't have off-system. So there'll be approximately $5 million the state will have after they finish building all these BR projects that they have, and then they're going to do the selecting and go to the counties based on a criteria that they've set forth and say, okay, yours is to the top. Do you want to do it or not? Yes or no? And it looks like those would be 2015 to 17, before those are out there, the list. There's 10 on the list. They haven't told us what's on them, so we don't know who's gonna get one. But $5 million isn't going to go very far.
No.
The rest of the BR funds and the STP funds will be bought out, and that's will be based on square foot of deficient bridge and miles of road, paved road. So who knows what that dollar amount will be. MAP 21 is the new highway bill that was approved, the extension. And there's been some changes in that. The roads department's working through the Federal Highway to decide the funding levels and what's coming down. What I've read in there, it looks like the STP funds, which is the old paving funds, is going to be reduced to the locals. So that'll reduce our buyback. But it's up to the governor and the Department of Roads to decide that how much that distribution comes and, of course, how loud you guys scream when you guys are in front of them. So that's the highway bill. We've got a pre-construction conference this morning on the rural water project. Deb and I will be going to that to make sure. I think we've got all the permits in place for that. Not a whole lot to report on that. I'll report back to the road and bridge on that. I've got some items I've visited with the county attorney on, and we've been having some discussions. There's some road closure requests that are coming in. Couldn't get on the agenda. We'll get it on the agenda for the board to tell us to do a road study next meeting. So Deb will request that to be on your agenda. Staffing, we got some guys out for some surgery, and we had an accident on a job. A guy hurt himself. We're dealing with that internally. Motor grader districts, I asked Deb to look at the maps and potentially short-term redistrict a couple of maps instead of hiring somebody. Since the weather's conducive, have the other guys pick up a mile or two. To try to get down the road, we're going to see how that works out. One of the things that you'll see changing is I'm developing some maps for the motor grader operators to mark where they are every day by color highlighter. So every week we'll get a card back with their map showing these are the miles that I did by color code. Why do we want that? We have an accident on a road. One of the very first questions is when's the last time you guys were on that road? That's the very first question. And I know we've had a recent accident, and it's going to come. And they're going to want to know when we were there, when did you rock it, and when did you maintain it last. People call, my road doesn't get graded, your guy's making a mess, blah, blah, blah. We can at a glance go back a month, 2 months, 5 years, and say, no, we weren't there. Or, yes, we were there. We were just there. So that's something we're going to put together, present to the guys, and ask them to fill in. We'll put it in tablet form, and then that'll help us track that. And then the other advantage of that is if they see something on the road, there'll be a common area that they can do. When Deb gets the forms or Galen, he can look at them and say, okay, I got a sign. It's blocked by a tree. Those things you see, I got to take care of this, and by the time you're a mile down the road, you forget about it. They can write it down, get it to us. We can put it on the list and get it to the right people. So that's where we're at with that. No report on Galen. I've been visiting with him. He's progressing. I believe he was in the shop the other day, so he was out and about, so that was good. So things are going in a positive direction. So I'll entertain any questions if you have any.
Mark, I really appreciate the help you give me on those projects.
That's great, Roger. I went back. You intrigued me enough that I went back and double checked, and you're right. That one statute makes no sense at all. So, anyway,
any other questions for Mark? K, Okay, I'd like a motion on approve or disapprove resolution for federal aid project number BR-32655, authorizing the chairman to sign the contract with the above-mentioned contractors for the above-mentioned work on behalf of the county, resolution 12-26.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Do you need that now, Deborah, or...? Jane Ford Witthoff, update on public health solutions. Right there.
Hi, Jane. Hi, glad to see you all. Well, this past year has been a pretty tight year for us, but I'm not going to cry or anything like that. We had anticipated that we would have reductions in our funds, and of course we did. And that's primarily because of anticipated loss of funds because we didn't have some grant renewals. And that's unfortunate, but it's one of those things that happen. And that was in the area of environmental health. And we were not able to get some renewals because we don't have the population to attract some of the funding in with respect to EPA. And that often happens for rural areas, and I hope we can change that around to some extent. You know, we have a particular problem with lead, because a lot of our housing stock is not, you know, we have older housing stock and it's not been renovated because we don't have the economic engines here to cause that redevelopment. And so therefore our housing stock is not renewed and redeveloped, and therefore children are exposed. But we don't have a large number of children because this is not a metropolitan area, so it just is cyclical. So that's unfortunate, but it's going to take time to address. Senator Nelson's office was particularly helpful in trying to get that, give us a boost, but it didn't work. But anyway, that's one of the reasons why we had a reduction. And true to form, you know, we just reduced our staff in accord. The good thing, though, is after 5 years of working, we did get a funding for our Rural Health Outreach Grant, which was it's a case management program in conjunction with all six critical access hospitals, and it's focused on reducing inappropriate use of the emergency rooms, which is a way to reduce healthcare costs for all of us. Because when ERs are used inappropriately, particularly by those that have no means of pay, that ends up being a cost that's absorbed by the hospitals, which ends up increasing the cost for all of us, because costs that are absorbed by the hospitals are put into the cost of care, which you end up paying. So it ends up, you know, we'll be helping to reduce costs, but more importantly, improve the health of people and provide more effective care. Anyway, that program has started. And we are going to be at full staff when we when a new nurse comes on board on October 17th. We also lost a Medicaid contract, because when we lose big. But through some negotiations and the assistance of the legislature, we were able to salvage that contract, so it's going to come back to us. And they keep saying it's going to come. So hopefully it'll be coming also in October, so we'll be at full staff. So that's the story on our budget. Some big things that are coming up. We're starting a planning process. I don't know if you probably don't follow it, because it's so miserable to follow anything in healthcare anymore. But one of the requirements is for hospitals to hospitals that are nonprofit to do a planning process so they can demonstrate that, in fact, they're using their resources to assist the community. In other words, that they are giving back to the community when they do make money off health care, that they do give that back to the community. So every nonprofit hospital has to do a planning process to determine needs and then to follow through on that. Well, we know that the hospitals do give back to the community. Your hospital, in fact, does a lot of immunizations free of charge. It's notable for that and other things that they've done in the community. But anyway, they're going to be doing another planning process and we'll be helping them. In particular, I wanted to mention that your MAPS organization has been very active in working in the area, and particularly in alcohol and mental health issues. And those are two areas where we think that that there's a lot of need, and we're going to be particularly working with them in the coming year or years. In relation to communicable disease, I just want to mention that, we're here to promote and protect the health of citizens. So that includes long-term issues that we look, we're always looking for how we can save the community in terms of, reducing disease and whatever on the short run and in the long run. Well, we do know that there's probably our first West Nile case is probably, it may be emerging. We got some reports yesterday which lead us to believe that there may be a West Nile case, which ruins my record, but we'll keep you advised of that. But we've done a pretty good job, I thought, in prevention. But this was a very low year for mosquitoes, so I'll be very disappointed if that happens. But given that it's been very dry, we've had not many mosquitoes, so it's kind of unusual that we would have a case, but it is possible. With rains coming, I anticipate next year, or we hope next year, we'll be at greater risk. As you can see with Texas, they came on with a lot of mosquitoes. We'll be at greater risk next year for West Nile virus, and so we'll have to do extra work next year to avoid mosquito threats. We're anticipating there'll be a heavier year with flu, and each year we do the skip flu program. And why we do the skip flu program, which is immunizing kids in the schools against flu, is because kids across the country, and including Beatrice, tend not to get immunized against flu in clinics or at their physician's offices. That's just how it is. That's life. And through our skip flu program, we've been able to double the immunization rates of school children in our district. We ask each year for the counties to contribute one-third the cost of the vaccine that we use in the counties. I hope that you've given this year, or that you will provide that vaccine. All the counties have given in the past and are giving this year, I believe. I hope that you are too. Anyway, that's started already. Another initiative that we're going to be doing this year, and we'll be discussing with the board, is that we're going to be encouraging adults to get boosters on pertussis. I don't know if any of you had whooping cough when you were kids. I did, and I still remember it. It was pretty awful. What we're most concerned about is babies. Before they can be immunized, getting pertussis, because it can be very, very dangerous for them. They can die from that. And the biggest threat to babies are adults carrying whooping cough, because whooping cough is actually very, very common among adults. You don't even notice that you have it often, and because it's very not very severe in many adults. And so you might expose a baby and not even know it. So we're encouraging adults to get boosters against pertussis so we don't have any outbreaks. You've seen that Iowa's had outbreaks and other states around us have had outbreaks. Well, we don't want any outbreaks, so we're going to encourage that. Oh, some other things that we're doing is we're going to be doing a service directory because there have been some requests for that. We're helping some hospitals establish mental health services through telehealth. You know, and I don't know that your hospital has. I know we have Blue Valley as well. Anyway, through the planning process, we'll be determining what directions we're going to go in the coming year. So it's really a stepping back and assessing what we need to do. Some of you may get a phone interview from, not a phone interview, but an in-person interview from someone that we're paying to interview you about what your opinions are. I hope you will accommodate that. It'll be your chance to say what you think and what you think of us. And all be confidential. Just be gentle. I won't know what you say, but just be truthful and gentle. I don't know if you have any questions or concerns you'd like to express. No?
Any questions? Thank you.
Well, it's nice to see you all. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
I am your representative on that board, so anytime that you need to visit with Jane or have any interest, just talk to me so I can relate it to the board.
Okay, we have a timed event in 3 minutes, so Stephanie, I'm assuming you need longer than that, though, don't you?
Only if you have questions.
Okay.
So I can be quick. I'm Stephanie
Clark.
Lawyer. I'm the Gage County Public Defender. I have my quarterly report for the second quarter of 2012, and then I also have the previous reports. Had a baby last fall, and so I was on bed rest before I had him, and then he was in the hospital a little while, so I'm catching up on my reports. But the newest one is on top, and we were down a little bit in numbers this last quarter, which I thought was maybe a little unusual, so I looked at the previous quarter, which was higher. And I think that you'll see consistently we may have a high quarter followed by a low quarter, but over the course of the year I expect it to be pretty consistent with what it was last year. It looks like 2005 was a spike for some reason. 2007 was a spike. And it's gone down some since 2007. Last year was pretty high in numbers. And it goes up and down, but over the course of the year or the years, as you see, it does stay pretty consistent. One thing that I will point out on the first sheet that says second quarter 2012, when we talk about, these are just the new cases. This is not our total number of cases. This is how many new ones we opened in that three-month period. So, for example, second quarter of 2012, we opened 19 new felony cases. And the felonies, as you know, are the more serious cases. My office takes the first 35 of those, and that's like the maximum capacity that we can handle with two attorneys. And after that, we reach the 35 number. They go to other attorneys in the community. We usually aren't at that 35 cap level for more than two or three weeks here and there. But then the lowest we've ever been in recent memory is 29. So we hover right around that 30 number. And I can answer questions or try to answer questions if anyone has them.
Those are ongoing ones, or those aren't new ones. You open 19 new ones, but then you have a maximum that you can handle ongoing
at any time, 35 of the felonies.
Right.
There's no cap on misdemeanors or juvenile or other types of cases, but of the felonies, we cap it at 35 because I can have a client who's looking at 100 years in prison on a felony. So we cap those because they can be quite serious.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Need a motion to put the report on file, both of them, I guess, public health and public defender.
So moved. So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. 9:15, we have accept or reject rock and gravel bids. Need a motion to close bids at 9:15.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve closing bids. You got rock bids?
Bidding in there. You made the motion open.
This is a bid from Jefferson County Services, Fred Beekman, for rock. There's a lot listed in there, but I'll give you just a calm one, probably 1.5-inch crusher run, $12 per ton. Ace sand and gravel. Gravel bid, $905 per ton. Consolidated sand and gravel, pit price, $920 per ton.
For gravel or rock?
Gravel.
Gravel.
Horse gravel. Rock bid, 1.5-inch, comparable to the last one, $1,240 per ton from Beatrice Concrete. Hereford Limestone Company. A rock bid. Inch, $1,350 per ton.
Where are they out of?
In Lincoln, didn't it?
Lincoln, Nebraska is where the office is at. I'm not certain where that fits at.
Weeping Water.
Weeping Water?
Yeah, Weeping Water.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's Teeman.
This is a bid from
From Powell.
Yeah. Yeah, screened from the Powell pit is from RL Team for hauling, I believe. Pit price on that gravel is $940 a ton from the Powell pit. Same way, this is Warsh from Alexandria pit, submitted by RL Team of Construction, $985 per ton. And then his hauling rates vary per township. Rock bid from Sites. From Rock on, this is hauling. and they vary from township to township. This comes from Rock On, a bid for hauling. He's got it broke down per township. Ranges anywhere is on the front page here. I see from $295 to $420, depending on location, townships. Another bid for hauling from Rock On. Same thing. This would be trucking only from the Powell pit, ranging anywhere from townships from $3.95 all the way up to $8 per ton.
As is customary, I would recommend or make a motion we accept all bids pending review by Road and Bridge. Make sure they meet all the requirements.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve accepting all bids, and Road and Bridge will review these at a later time, correct?
And then probably next meeting we'll see if we can get an updated spreadsheet that update everything. So we'll save this one. And
thanks, Fred.
They'll make a comparison between the two.
Okay, we have a timed event at 9:30. So Gus and Lori Wallenberg on verifying sheriff and distress warrant report.
First of all, did everybody get this? We actually have three that we are asking to strike that have been 2 years where we haven't been able to collect them. And then by statute, you can strike the taxes.
That's it?
Do you want me to
explain a little bit what's going on here? I mean, why?
Okay,
These are what kind of reports?
Personal property taxes that were not collected. They go over to sheriff's office for them to collect or levy on or try to get the money. And then he sends back this report that says that, like, unable to locate, no property found, strike when applicable. And after 2 years, if he cannot collect, then we can strike them.
We're finding more and more that can't find, and it just shows how transient our society is getting to be. But all the people on here don't know anymore.
But this is kind of cleaning up the books, though, kind of. I mean,
right.
So but that they're not left open out there forever.
But they can be. If they can find these people and there is money, we can still collect it.
Okay.
It can still be collected.
Even though this is done?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, need a motion. Or no, we don't, do we? That's just verifying. Okay, then discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes. So do you need a motion there?
I'd make a motion to approve striking based on the recommendation from the county treasurer, county treasurer and the county sheriff.
Okay, moved by Bauman.
Both.
50-50.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gus and Amber present quarterly report for Sheriff Department and Detention Facility.
Good morning. Second quarter reports for 2012. 139 males booked, 56 females, 87 felony charges, 197 misdemeanor charges, and 45 other charges. Inmate medical expense was $9,645.80. No income from housing outside prisoners. Income for fingerprints was $610. Income from inmate phone usage, $1,392.68. Commissary commission income, $5,770.60. Spent outside housing prisoners, $9,136.40.
Quick question. That one there is as low as what we've had it. I mean, compared to the first quarter.
For holding prisoners outside.
Yeah.
If you'll recall, that first quarter, 2012, we housed a juvenile.
Oh, yeah.
That juvenile. Again, total lodged 195. There was 119 arrests by the sheriff's office, 67 by Beatrice Police, 3 by Wymore Police. Nebraska State Patrol had 5 arrests, and other agency is 1. And it looks like I failed to put the alcohol-related arrest in there, which I can give you an update.
It's on here.
It is? It wasn't on mine.
Oh.
Maybe I fixed it and gave.
We'll tell you. It's 29.
Oh, thank you. 29 alcohol-related arrests for 2012. The second quarter medical general care, $6,908.39. Emergency medical, $2,737.41. And zero funds spent on vision and dental for second quarter. Questions, comments?
Questions?
Good morning. And I'll do likewise, like Amber. I'll have the second court reports for Sheriff's Office 2012. And we'll start with calls for service, and I think you should all have the packets as well. Now, calls for service were up a little bit from last quarter. It was 1,741. We had 77 accidents, 98 citations, 366 warnings, 127 arrests, 315 legal papers were served. 74 were arrest warrants. We had $3,197.22 in fees earned, $4,418.74 in mileage earned, and $79 in copies. Nothing on distress warrants collected, and nothing on partial pay for distress warrants as well. We collected $2,950 on title inspections, drove 65,352 miles on patrol. We had 4,105 miles for prisoner transports. We had 2,279.37 reimbursed from grants. No meth labs. We had 2 drug violations. Reserves gave us 4,353 miles in patrol and 563 hours the reserve gave to us, helping us out. We had 1,323 billing checks, and of those, we had 23 of the doors were found open.
Curious, guess with the deer outbreak of the blue tongue, is it reducing car deer accidents? Because somebody commented they're not seeing dead deer along the highway.
Well, you know, car deer, we always seem to have a lot of them. I've heard that too, that it's supposed to be killing a lot of them off, but it spikes like anything else. I think it's just ups and down. I can't really tell a lot of difference myself for what we do on them anyway, so okay. They're still there.
Okay. Any questions? Need a motion to put both reports on file.
So moved.
So moved, I couldn't. Mr. Byers?
Second.
Seconded by Myron. Discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a 9:30 public hearing to hear support and opposition to upgrade from Class D to Class C liquor license for, is it Cossin? Enterprise LLC, doing business as Homestead Plaza. And
motion to open a public hearing.
Motion to open public hearing.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Bauman to open. Juergens to second. Discussion. Vote. Looking behind you there. 7-0 to approve. Name and address for the record.
My name is Aaron Cost, and I currently live in Lincoln, Nebraska, at 548 West Jennifer Drive. I operate the Homestead Plaza at 18550 U.S. Highway 77. It does business as Homestead Plaza and Homestead Restaurant, the truck stop just north of town. What I'm looking to do is move from a Class D to a Class C license. I've been the operator there for the past 16, 17 months or so, operating under that Class D license. We are open 24 hours, but my intent is to change the evening menu, probably try and increase business. It's tough for me to justify trying to sell a steak for $19, $20 and only being able to offer caffeinated beverages there.
So this is an upgrade to an on-sale?
To an on-sale, correct. I have an off-sale, and it's just on-sale, and like I said, my intent is just to sell beer and wine.
But the license is for both in off and on, or just
correct.
Okay.
Yes. We are open 24 hours. My intent is to sell from between 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. and then cut it off after that. My goal is not to start another bar out there. One is, I think, is beyond my capabilities and my staffing staff to go ahead and monitor that accurately. Plus, we don't really have the space. I've got other things going on out there, and I don't want those to compete with each other, so or conflict with each other.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Any questions for him?
This is for what type of liquor, then? Any? I mean, wine, beer, or what? Or
my, I under the Class C license that the Nebraska State Liquor Commission advised me to get was a Class C license. Technically, under this, I'll be able to sell anything out there.
Mixed wine, spirits, beer.
Yes. Okay. We just aren't able to handle that, and I have problems control. I would think I would have problems controlling pour rates and things like that, and that's just not it. Plus, I believe it, like I said, my goal would be not to create any additional problems out there related to alcohol, and once I think that I get into selling mixed spirits on premises, it would be tough. Now, under the current license, I can sell bottled liquor under a Class D license. I may start doing that here in the next couple months. Just have some, you know, little bottles behind the counter for people, so they don't have to come all the way in town. So, because I don't believe there is a liquor store in Northern Gage County right now that I can think of, anyway.
Probably right there. Any other questions for him?
Well, go ahead, Kathy.
You're just looking to benefit your restaurant and do an addition to that by people being able to have a drink with their meal rather than just going in there and drinking. Is that correct?
Yes. Not my goal is not to. Now, I suppose it would be tough for me if some construction guys got off work at 5 or 6 o'clock and, you know, wanted to sit down and, you know, have, you know, 2 or 3 beers, you know, that's probably is possible. I do look at it as a family restaurant. It's a place where, over the road truck drivers will stop and stay. And they stay there, I believe because we're open 24 hours. They can go in and chit chat with a waitress at 3 o'clock in the morning if they can't sleep in their trucks, that sort of thing. I don't want to get away from that. I believe Pickerel probably does a pretty good job of serving, you know, the bar customers out there, and
they do.
don't have any intention or any desire to try and compete with that. So,
but there's no way you can stop it either if the truck driver drives in there at 11 o'clock at night and pulls his truck in, fills up with gas, and comes in and wants to have 3 or 4 beers and get back in his truck. You've got to serve him.
Well, I don't have to serve him.
You can't turn him down if you're serving other people that are sitting there eating.
Well, I won't serve after 11 p.m. So that is going to be my cutoff time, and 11 p.m. is
yeah, about five, how about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning?
6 or 7 o'clock at night if somebody
in the morning.
I wouldn't serve in the morning too. But let's, for the sake of argument, let's say somebody comes in, drives in, and wants to have 3 or 4 beers at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and then get back in their truck and drive away. You know, that's tough for me to deal with as long as they're not intoxicated. I believe DOT, certainly they have rules and regulations about that, and from my understanding, talking with drivers, is they are not allowed to either have drunk or anything and be even close to their truck. So then that's that can lose their license in a hurry.
Of course, the average citizen. How many miles out of town are you?
I think we're about 4 or 5 miles out of town. So yeah, so this is for trying to serve the people in Northern Gage County. And like I said, we had the Cortland Bar has closed and they served, you know, beer and food in there. So I think there might be a need for people that don't want to come all the way into Beatrice that would like to stay out there and have something a little bit nicer. Certainly I don't need to sell beer to sell a chicken fried steak dinner or a hamburger or something like that. But if I'm trying to do some nicer things out there, I think it is going to be needed for
me. It's basically a profit center for you.
Yes, exactly. And to attract new customers, too. I mean, there are some people that will not go to a place because they can't have a beer with their dinner. So,
profit center.
Yeah.
Matt. I'd like to hear if the sheriff has any opposition.
I believe the chairman's got a letter from me. I spoke a couple of times to Aaron about this. His staff in the past has worked well with us. They've had problems, they've called us, and they've been pretty minimal since they're not the only place open late like they used to in the old days. I did line him up with getting his staff, I think maybe himself, the responsible beverage serving training they got coming up, so he's going to get his people to that. And so I think he's making an effort. I mean, it's obvious, like Danny indicated here, it's all about profit, and that's obviously where everything's going. Even the Fair Board has done that over the years. You know, it's if alcohol is not there, the profit margin is not there. So we'll do our job no matter whether they get the license or not. We're still going to be there, and like I say, we've had no problems with it in the past. So I certainly have no opposition to it at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else want to speak in favor or against? Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 6-0-1 with Lytle out of the room temporarily. There is no action on this. It clearly states public hearing to hear support and or opposition to upgrade from Class D to Class C liquor license. So I don't know what you need from the board to send to the state. If it needs that there was no opposition, that will come from the clerk's office. And, okay, pardon me.
We need a motion.
Well, we don't have it on the agenda. Roger, can we make a motion on that? It never made the agenda.
Well, I think basically state, you know, that there, you know, there was no opposition voiced at the public hearing. Allow the, or direct that the clerk can disseminate that information to the state.
Okay. So she'll have your paperwork here.
Okay. Thank you.
Approve or disapprove interlocal agreement for cooperative public safety service by and among the counties of Cass, Gage, Fillmore, Jefferson, Johnson, Lancaster, Nemaha, Odo, Pawnee, Richardson, Saline, Seward, Thayer, and York, and the cities and villages within said counties.
I would make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement for cooperative public safety services.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Mark.
Just a brief explanation. We've been in this agreement for 5 years with the other counties. Actually, three of the counties, Gage, Jefferson, Saline, actually had been working as a region together for the almost 12 years that I've been here. And the state took a look at our region that we were utilizing services and working together on grants and such and made basically a statewide over that. So our region is in the southeast region. And basically it's for the purposes of regional emergency management coordination, planning, exercise, training, interoperable communications. All of our grant funds are administered on a regional level now, and dispersion of that money and mutual aid agreements between the counties. So, in other words, if I was not available or we had something happen in Gage County, we needed either equipment or services from Jefferson County or Cass County or Odo County, they could come in and operate, and we would operate cooperatively. They wouldn't take over. Again, it'd just be an augment of my department.
What are the changes, just the additional counties?
No. This is the same as it was 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I did let Rick took a look over the contract, too, to prove it, and he said there was no issues. The county attorney's office did approve it. So.
And there is an opportunity if for some reason the wheels would fall off the joint, you can get off. And the 60 or a 90-day out clause.
Yeah.
So there's a clause to get out if you need to, but I don't know why we ever would. Yeah. But it's not like we're on the hook for 5 years with no end.
Probably the biggest thing right now besides the funding that's available on the regional level is the statewide communications. We got a message, an email this morning regarding our statewide communications and our microwave system that's being installed, which the microwave system will feed not only, you know, the communications part of that, but also the teletype services that the treasurer's office, the county uses, are going to be getting away from the phone lines and the T1 lines and going to microwaves. So the whole state wants to be on a microwave. So there's an issue right now in our county of a tower location to put that microwave system on. So I need to start working on that right away to contact a local tower here, a local business that has a tower here that we're going to try to jump on and try to use. So, but Lancaster County manages all the funds. All the funding is, they're the fiscal agent of this, so you'll see
that
deposits.
That has not changed
so,
either?
No. Thank you for Lancaster County for doing that, yeah. Because it's not easy to be that fiscal agent when you're talking about $500,000 running that through their offices. With his staff that he has, he is able to do that. So.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you, Mark.
Just a quick reminder of the meeting tonight of the Victometry at 7 o'clock at the library. So we got that set up. And I had a lot of good, positive feedback from that. And a lot of people, I think, are going to be there. At least they say they're going to be there. So we'll see if some of them happen.
Gary?
Well, we got Mark here. Can we just go ahead and do the emergency management real quick?
Sure.
You want to just fill in everybody on the Blue Springs Tower and a couple other projects?
We've been doing a lot of the communication systems, revamping that in Southern Gage County. You know, after we've had some problems after we narrow banded, and we've taken all the equipment off the Wymore Water Tower now. We've put up a 70-foot tower at the county barn, highway shop there in Wymore. We had a local service take it down, but the county shops helped me put it back up, pour the base for it and everything. So we worked on that for about a week, got that all back up. The equipment's installed. That's a voting system that's on there. So we have our own tower. We can maintain our equipment. Our equipment's in our building. And we also added a radio there at the county barn in the office. So the highway department has a radio inside the shop there to use. And if it ever falls back, we programmed it that if we did have an incident in the Wymore area, we could use the county shop for a command post. We also added the frequencies in it for law enforcement, fire and rescue and such. So we did that. So it took all of our equipment off of the water tower, which was nice because they were painting it anyway, and some stuff got damaged while they painted it, so it was a good timing. We've also pretty much remodeled the building in Blue Springs underneath our 420-foot guided tower there. It's been plumb and tension. We added an antenna at the very top, changed the antennas, which improved the, earlier in the year we had a problem at a fire down by Barnston. We've improved that greatly. It's not perfect, but no system is going to be perfect. But it really helped out a lot after we narrow banded. We lost that. So we put new walls in. We've added an new air conditioning system. We found a lot of code violations on electrical, so we redid that. And so we're in the process of finishing up painting. We got the heater to put in, and we put a new fence around it. And so anytime that anybody would like to take a trip and see some of this other equipment, so I'd encourage you to come down, and I'll drive you down and show you that. So we have to stay on top of that tower. The next thing coming up will be on your next agenda, next meeting. We're going to be looking at requesting for bids for the new lighting system on that tower. That's a budgeted item. And so we really need to the FAA has sent out a warning that they're going to start looking at these towers, especially where there's probably going to be some statewide communications on that tower. We needed to get it fixed and cleaned up. If you remember, we bought that tower for $1. We've had it for about 8 years. And so it's been, if we used to put that tower up today, it'd be probably about $250,000 to $300,000 to put it up, especially a 420-foot tower. Part of the agreement, we still have Charter. It's called Zito now. Zito Communications still has, that's their dead end for their fiber optics. So that's another profit, or not a problem, another plus for us, because we actually have fiber optics in that building. And then Diode Communications has a system on that tower also that provides internet systems there for us. So that's a free service there they provide. So we have, the tower is, it's looking really nice now, and it's going to be there for a while. So, we have just a few other little things to finish up on it, and it'll be done. So I've been usually working in the mornings down there for a couple hour or two, and then finishing up. But I want to thank the highway department for everything. They're going to put a sidewalk into it next when they get time. And Rod has been, Aiden has been really helpful to to me to save the county a lot of money but not have to hire all this done. In their free time of downtime, and they've had a man missing off their crew and stuff, they weren't able to do some other projects. They were able to come down and stuff. So
probably the other thing Matt want to just discuss real briefly is the ID card. I don't know if that's something you want to cover.
ID card systems, we purchased the new system. It's over at the Sheriff's Department. You'll see all your new ID cards have come. That's on the statewide credentialing system. I think we've pretty much, Chief Dakey also, he's present here. He also has the same system at the city level. The next project we want to work on is getting the volunteer fire department rescue squads. I believe all the police department, I'm not sure where they're at. The Sheriff's Department all has theirs, and Highway Crew has theirs. I think all the county courthouse has theirs. And one of the things that's different than what we used to do is we're going by the statewide credentialing, what the statewide wants to do. And we're actually, there's a form they need to fill out and sign now that's different than before. So we'll have to go around to all them departments and make sure they get the proper paperwork filled out, and we'll get their IDs done and such. So, this ID system has is a little different. The scanning process on there is has all the information in it. So if I go to, for example, Marshall County, Kansas, if there was something we're working on the state line, some type of a disaster, we needed to help them, they come up here to help us. Kansas uses this. I think Missouri's part of them, Iowa. This ID card, I go up and scan it, and they'll be able to read my information, who I am, what I'm certified to do, and et cetera. So, and that's again under the statewide credentialing system. So,
okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Approve or disapprove emergency medical service interlocal agreements between Gage County, City of Wymore, Village of Adams, Odell Fire and Rescue, Cortland Rural Fire Board, and City of Beatrice.
Make a motion to approve the EMS agreements with the entities.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
And when you'll see on here, I don't think Claytonia's on here. I was up there last night, but I didn't see Ron Miller. Did we get with there? Did we get?
Claytonia. Pickrell called and said they had theirs approved by their board, but they just need to get that other attachment be signed, and so they'll be bringing it to the next meeting.
And that's what's different. Since we don't have an EMS consultant anymore, what we did was we changed, so there's that attesting to meeting the qualifications, so their medical director fills those out, and they send that back with the claim. So there's a little bit of confusion how that would work. So,
okay. Any other discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove this dissemination of copies of communications between the Board of Supervisors and the formal medical director for the months of April and May per the Freedom of Information request from Chris Dunker without the payment by Mr. Dunker or the Beatrice Daily Sun of the statutorily allowed charges.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
The only question concern I would have is, the board has devoted a great deal of time and expense to satisfying their request. And while I don't, that's fine. You waive your fees on that. But the photocopying thing does bother me. And I just submit that to you. If Joe Smith comes in and wants a copy of his decree in district court, he pays. There's no waivers on that, and I just bring that up. Again, I don't believe the press holds any special place, despite Lancaster County, and that's just my feeling as far as taxpayers. We represent those, and how do I treat Mr. Dunker differently than somebody else? So I just throw that out. It's clearly up to you folks. We've had the stuff there, and despite Mr. Dunker's, I'll pay the damn fee. We've seen no money. So I understand the board's concern about taking flack and stonewalling, as he's accused me of. There they sit. They've been up there for several weeks. And I resent that because it's not true. And he seems to use his editorial pen to take cheap shots at the credibility of elected officials. And I'm tired of it, too.
I guess I'm under the opinion that it's wrong to pay it. They're for profit. They are not the voice of the taxpayer. They're for profit. They have an opinion. They have a format, and they have an agenda. If statutorily we can charge, what keeps Joe Blow from Mr. Grell? I'm going to just use you as an example. He comes in. He wants information. Do we drop everything and produce it at an expense to the county? I believe if the information was made available in a timely fashion, which was not reported, it's been sitting there. Do what you want. But I believe it's wrong to make an exception for a for-profit business to waive fees. They made no bones or hesitation to come after us for $4,000 they felt they were owned. Never saw that. If we would have made that decision for another entity, it'd be on the front page or in an editorial. It did not happen. So sometimes turnarounds, fair play. Kathy.
I believe that if we would charge an individual taxpayer that came in and wanted copies and wanted information, I think that the paper should be charged just like any other taxpayer should be. I would not vote for waiving the charges.
Based on the packet, it'd be $21.50 a page, which we, somebody else came in. That's what, whatever office you went to, it'd be the 50 cents a page. So that's consistent. $21.
It's $21. That's what
I'm just throwing that out. Yeah. I mean, you could adjust your motion if you choose. And, you know, so at least they have to pay the photocopying.
I would say we change. I would say we could amend the motion to change without to with from Chris Dunker with the payment by Mr. Dunker or the Beatrice Davis end of the statutorily allowed charges.
Well, basically you can divide that two ways. You can choose, charge the photocopying, which is what the public pays, and the other fees that are allowed by law are what it takes, for instance, to go get the information, photocopy it, and have it ready for the requester. I mean, you could, and I understand, this time it took us a little bit of, time and expense to find all these emails. In the future, the board's going to probably have to look at having either iPads or laptops that belong to the county, and you will have county emails. So it'll be much easier to go to that device versus your own personal computers that you folks have been using and basically donating the use of to the taxpayers. So, I don't anticipate, unless it's a huge request, that would be as big a time problem as we've had.
Would the language of statutorily allowed charges cover that?
Well, that would cover all of that stuff.
So if we change the word from without to with.
Well, meaning he pays the $21 to get it.
Right. No.
Well, you say photocopying, just to say request.
Just statutorily.
Statutorily, and somewhere, I don't know where I read it, it was $200 and some.
$210. That was an estimate.
That was an estimate.
Yeah, now that we've done all the work, I know exactly how many pages I got, and it also included the time for you folks to go back over your computers, pull out the relevant emails that had been requested, get them to my office. I've reviewed them. Make sure there's not issues involving personnel, litigation, issues which are protected by statute, legitimately protected because they are in the statute. That figure would be less than the $210, just because these, a lot of you folks gave me that were basically duplicates, which makes sense. They went out to everybody. So now I know it's 42 pages versus I think I estimated, I want to say 60 or so when I estimated that deposit request.
So what's the total amount with the photocopies and the statutory allowed charges?
Got a calculator here, Roger.
It looks like it'd be $201.
Okay, Roger, I got a question. Statutorily, I actually got two questions. Statutorily, did we do anything wrong?
No. I mean, the one thing I would say, and I will say this, at the time this request came in, we were working. We had two jury trials coming up with our three-person office. We were bound, and there's no question about it. We were working. We worked three straight weekends. The 4th of July was not a holiday in our office. We were upstairs working. And I don't have a problem with that. That comes with the territory. But then when I get a request like, you know, hey, we need this stuff, we have to, you know, notify you folks. And we initially, because the request was to the clerk, what she had. We provided that. I think it was $10.95 or something like that. Basically a half hour for the secretary to pull it up, make photocopies, and provide it to the paper. Again, then we got into a situation where they chose to hire an attorney. The attorney general's office shifted gears a little bit and basically says it includes personal computers as well as.
And that has always been different than what the attorney general has said, what NACO has said at every training.
The advice we gave to you was what we had been given before.
Did you receive the information from the attorney general, or did it?
Yeah. I mean,
the same letter of his opinion?
They sent a copy of that to us, which, again, I notified you. I need everything, including the stuff on your personal computers, which you guys
with no wrongdoing done here, I foresee the biggest challenge this board has in the future is getting correct information to the public. Because the shadow of distrust, doubt, wrongdoing that is constantly implied comes with a level of expenses. You're going to have to incur probably county cell phones in the future. They're the counties. You're going to have to incur county computers. They're the counties. So anything that can be drawn. And I do believe this board needs to get a public information system set in place to where get fair and accurate, honest information done constantly. And not a biased, slanted, or personal agenda for profit at the expense of the taxpayer. Any more discussion? Kathy.
I would like to just say that I think the paper should be treated just the same as everybody else, and they would be the first ones to scream and publish it if we gave away any tax dollars that weren't absolutely necessary.
Any more discussion?
I went up and talked to Roger Monday after our committee meetings, and I said, listen, there's been this perception that there's been some wrongdoing and that there's some big hidden agenda with regard to a personnel issue, and we as a public body have to be very careful with the information that we give out, which is personnel related. And I was made aware that the discussion, apparently the article that was the opinion article with regard to Lancaster County had to do with brick and mortar, had to do with the building. Buildings don't sue you, people do. And so I think there, you know, we went through the process, collected that information we had, and we had Roger review that very appropriately because it's personnel related. So we go through and look at that, and there's just nothing there. But when I went and visited with Roger Monday, I said, you know, there's been this creation of something that's just not there. And I guess I won't say I plead with him, but I talked to him and said, let's just release this stuff. I mean, we've had it there forever. We, you know, it's a $200 charge. But the erosion of the public trust by an external force at times, I think, is negative. And I think what this board's tried to do is be very positive about things. We've tried to be very upfront. We're afforded no quarter when we do so. And so as we have information out there, we release it. There are personnel issues. We need to be sensitive to that. You know, we just can't go out and do a lot of those things. So where I'm at is release the information. There's just not a lot there. And that's okay. And Chris can go through and look at it, and people can see that. There's just not a whole lot of information there. So that's just where I'm coming from. And what I think after this motion, after we do this, I'd like to visit a little bit about an idea I have and I visit with Roger briefly about it with regard to electronic access to public records. So after this, I'd like to have a little bit of time to visit about that.
Well, I'm just going to make the point that the way the motion is worded, I will vote no. Because I think that they should be treated as Kathy does, like every other taxpayer fees. If somebody wants to change appropriately the language which requires them to pay those fees, then I would approve. But the way the motion is presented, and I wanted to make sure we had an opportunity to vote on it, so I second it, but I would vote against.
Any more discussion? Terry.
Okay, this motion, dollar and cents wise, what are we talking about with this? What?
$0.
Okay.
Have we been billing any of the papers, Daily Sun, Voice, anybody, if they've come and requested anything from the clerk's office, have we been billing them for copies or anything?
Yeah. They made an earlier request, like you said, that they basically requested from the clerk the information that was in your request. And that's what the Attorney General's office says, well, you can't just limit it to the clerk. You know, you have to use the entire board, even though the request itself was directed to the clerk. But we billed them $10.95. To the best of my knowledge, they paid that.
Before?
Yeah. Now, and again, just so you understand, if we anticipate it to be less than $50, there's not a deposit requirement. I just send the information to Mr. Dunker or whomever requested it. They send the check back for the photocopying expense. And in that case, it also was a half hour of the secretary's time at the clerk's office for finding the information and photocopying it. When it's over $50, then we can ask for a deposit. So you don't end up like I do with a stack of stuff that you all had to pull off your computers. I had to review, and now, well, apparently I'm not going to pay the damn deposit. So, and that's his words, and that's fine. So I've wasted taxpayers' time and money screwing around with this thing when I could have been working on important stuff and involving criminals, contracts for the county, et cetera. And that's why I'm a little upset about it.
Gary.
Roger. Maybe you have a little bit more knowledge as to how it's handled around the country or in other areas. I think from what I've seen anyway or what I've been able to find, it seems to me that there's normally some type of a fee in order to get the paperwork when there is a Freedom of Information Act request. Is that...
Yeah, like I said, I'll use an example. We have a fellow that's being charged a second or third offense DUI. One of his offenses was down in El Paso, Texas. We can't get a certified copy of that conviction, which we're required to present to the court as proof of a prior conviction without submitting $14 to that court. And that's usually the way it is. Once in a while, we'll find another county attorney or a court that will say, well, you're a fellow law enforcement or something. But when it comes to, like, private practice, when you're asking for certain documents out of a court or a register of deeds, any of that kind of stuff, you get billed for it. And most of the time, because you're out of state, you're going to pay in advance. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, again, I was surprised even Lancaster County doesn't. I don't know the history on it, nor, frankly, do I care.
And if you think
that's,
back.
That's their county, and they can do what they want.
On some of our past claims, Johnson County with $5, Jefferson County $7, Sarpy County $4.
$2.
Those are Freedom of Information. We pay the exact same thing. So, okay, any more discussion? Vote. Against. Juergens, Dorn, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer, in favor, Bauman. Does anybody need a point of privilege? We're at that mark of the day where Ron Fleece always started throwing stuff at me. 10-minute recess. Does anyone need one?
Yes.
Okay, 10-minute recess.
You guys are still too young.
Gus, can I talk to you a second?
I don't have a problem if you guys want to wait for like my time.
Just charging the phone.
Huh?
You don't release anything?
Well, no, but if you want to see
back in there. After recess, you can come back and get
a $21 copy.
Absolutely. To me, that's easier to
justify.
Now, if he comes over here,
there's nothing there.
Yeah, I know.
The problem is the cost of eroding public trust. Yeah. That's what you're doing. $21 to erode the public trust. You know, get the damn information. That's the only way we're going to be able to fight this stuff.
So the sum of house.
Okay. Reconvene the Gage County Board of
Flower Up.
Down is on. Reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Gary.
Yeah, I'd like to make an amendment to that we just voted on. that we go ahead and release the documents to the Beatrice Daily Sun with the fees of the photocopying, which would be the $21.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer in favor, Adams against. Matt.
I just wanted to, you know, as we've in the last 6 months, you know, if we look at how we operate here and how we keep electronic records and things like that, I think probably where this all stems from is we as a county are operating in an archaic system in a technologically advanced society. I mean, for a lot of people, if you can't, and I have a dumb phone, it's probably got rotary dial, but you know, for a lot of folks, if you can't get it in the palm of your hand on your smartphone, then it's too cumbersome to find. And we have an old system here. Everything's on paper. A lot of stuff we have is in paper. And I've spoken with Chris in the past about, you know, well, what else do other people have? Well, Norris Public Schools, they use a system that the Nebraska Association of School Boards apparently provides for school districts, NASB Online. And what they have is they'll have their agenda, and then next to it they'll have an icon with a copy of a PDF file or whatever document that they had. So I thought about that, and I also have visited, sent some very preliminary emails to Larry Dix at NACO and said, you know, all of this really stems from it's not that we're not open. It's not that you can't get the data. It's just that there needs to be probably a newer and quicker and faster way to get it. And state statute dictates the way that the treasurer has to keep things and the register of deeds. And I'm not advocating changing those departments. I'm saying for what we do here as a board, there's probably ways we can release a lot of this information that we talk about in a meeting. People could easily access this stuff. And it would forgo a charge because they're looking at it at their own computer. They can copy it. They can save it. They can use their own printer. I think I'd like the ability to investigate this to see what the cost would be. But the way I would envision this is we could probably internally develop our own system where we could take our agenda. Before the meeting, there probably wouldn't be anything on there. After the meeting, we would still keep the agenda and model it very similar to what the NASB's online process is, and have either a folder that someone could click on, and it would just have all the PDFs that they could just scroll down and see everything that we saw here at this meeting. Because once we approve it here at a meeting, it's public domain. So put it out there. Everyone can go through and see that. And we would keep those for 90 days and recognize, hey, you got 90 days to look at this. Otherwise, we create this enormous archive. And I work in healthcare, and we use electronic medical records. And when we scan things, we have to keep them, and there's laws for that. But the database to keep a lot of this just continues to grow. And so then you're buying hardware infrastructure, and it becomes, at some point, can become cost prohibitive. And there's way, and I'm not an IT person, but there's ways that you can zip things down and open them up. But at the risk of getting too much of a infrastructure in place, I think that we could probably sit around and maybe help work with MIPS and maybe engage NACO and see if we can put a system like that. Fairly easy to put a link on a website that it's just an icon. You click on it, it goes to your database, and it pulls that record up. It's really pretty simple to do that. Do that for 90 days and put a disclaimer on there that, you know, that it's only a legal document when we have it on the screen. If you modify it, if you print it off, then, hey, that's up to you because we can't control that. And then after 90 days, it's going to go back into a paper file. So anything after 90 days, you're going to have to go hunt for that. And I think that probably would hopefully be an effort to remove some of the perception, because perception is 9/10 of some people's reality outside of what facts are. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's the information. Come and look at it. It's public domain. Everything we approved and talked about today is public domain, but if someone comes in a week and wants to look for it, it's going to take some time to get that. And if it is personnel related, if it's real estate related, then Roger can go through ad nauseum of all the things we have to make sure we can and can't release. We run it through the county attorney's office. It's going to take some time. So I would just say that I don't have a problem, you know, looking at some of that. Again, I've sent, you know, had some conversations with Larry Dix, very peripheral. He was at a meeting, and I said, you know, it'd be nice if we could do something here locally, but maybe this is something statewide that a county organization could maybe spearhead. You know, MIPS does a lot for us. They have the websites that are basically boilerplate that look very similar. Maybe there's a way we can put this information that's out there. There was a an, issue that came up or an idea that came up in Road and Bridge about having like a Google map that would have every bridge in it in Gage County that would have a little pin that you could hover over, and it would tell you if that's a bridge project, what the weight limits are. So there's really some neat things with technology that we can do that are relatively inexpensive, would be, I think, an asset to the public out there. Would get information out there, would alleviate some of, you know, the annoyance in finance committee when we get a $2 fee, a $7 fee. It's like, well, it probably costs $10 to get that $7 back. Some inefficiencies in government. So I just think it's something that we need to look at. You know, there's still going to be the personnel issues that we're still going to have to go through and look at, some of those things that can't be released. But I think we, as a county and as government statewide, we probably need to do a better job of getting that information out there. No one's done anything wrong. We're just operating in a paper system in an electronic world, and I think we just need to get up to speed. And there'll be a cost to it, and I think we just need to realize that. But I look at the cost-benefit ratio, and there's probably a lot of benefit for people to be able to get that information out there. So I throw that out there as a discussion. As I've spent time thinking about this and try to give people, I mean, I believe I was probably the first elected official to have a website with information on it. So we try to get that stuff out there. But it's hard, and not everyone wants to come to this address to get paper out of a file. We live in an electronic world. They want to get it here, and if we can work with the county attorney and do it appropriately, I think there's a benefit. So that's kind of my pitch. It's something I've kind of been working on, trying to get, just gathering information. I don't, you know, other than just kind of a soft plan there. So throw that out there.
Anything else? Committee reports, building and grounds.
Okay, we have several issues over at the sheriff's office. One, that's unusual, isn't it, Gus? But the bathrooms, we have some issues with the walls behind the stools, and we've had it looked at, and it appears we need like a stainless steel back splash or a thing behind the stools.
Curtains are next, right?
Behind the stools to make sure that's redone. And there is some issues as far as out of the cells also behind those areas, that there could be a problem in the future as far as the inmates are concerned, safety-wise. So we are going to advertise for bids. The sheriff has gotten some preliminary quotes, but it will be a figure that we'll need to advertise for bids. So we'll place that. The committee has agreed to place that on the agenda to ask to call for bids. We also have a situation, a small area there, and Gus, you can go into any of these details you want, that because of the changes that we've made, we don't have any heating or air conditioning in an area. And, I mean, you're in there, and it's just, you know, if it's 110 out, it's 110. If it's 10 below, you're 10 below. And so that is below the bid amount that we have to go to. So we will place it on the agenda to ask for quotes, and this board will then have the opportunity to approve or disapprove it. Dave Jones has asked us, and we agreed, not unanimously agreed, in order to aesthetically make the monument, as we're doing the concrete sidewalks, to make it a little more attractive, to curve the concrete out into the lawn just a little ways so it's a curved look rather than just the straight sidewalks shooting down there. You just walk the straight path, but just aesthetically cleans it up and makes it look a little nicer. So basically, this is about it. Anyone else on the committee, anything else that we're missing, or Gus, anything you wanted to add?
Not in detail. It's just basically what Benny described as maintenance. As far as the cells, they've served over three decades, and they're just tired and worn out. And so there's some things we have to do. It's going to be very pricey, but the money's budgeted already, as in the years past, and there'll be a very select group that can bid on that. If they can get one, more than one will be surprised that this is going to have to do it. And then for the furnaces, I don't understand. Back then, there are two furnaces in a room about 8x8 that also has our electrical panels in. I can't get in to do anything with it. I'm just not quite that size to fit anymore. And they tied the one boiler in to the boiler in the back, or the one furnace into the heat exchange in the back. And it's just a system that's archaic, so they're going to, the attempt is to just take them both out, clean them up, make just one like a household furnace, right there. And when we put in the new windows on the north side, remember we did that a year or so ago, it sealed it up so well in back. That's where our heat came from, the front office. And so we don't have any draft. So those furnaces have been working for years. So we're going to replace that one. Hopefully then we'll get heat up to the front office during the colder weather. So.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and that furnace did quit, or that quit earlier in the summer. I mean, that's the air conditioner part of that. Yeah.
Got that done. So.
Yeah. Danny, under Building and Grounds, I wanted to report a little bit. I started some discussions with a lady in charge of the state home buildings, and she has expressed an interest if we do need space, i.e. probation, Department of Social Services, come up with a plan, diagram, what we need, and she would see what they could do because they have two buildings right now that they would be willing to welcome Gage County to use. At what cost, that is designed off of what our floor plan needs are. So that's something that we need to consider because probation is $35,000 a year. Social services is $9,000. They have not charged us the last 2 years, I believe. But that is not unusual. They did that once before, and then we got a bill, I think, for 3 or 4 years, 9 times whatever it was. Boom. So, well, it's out there. I mean, it's out there. And so, I mean, those are realities of it, and maybe we need to investigate and look at the opportunity that may be there. Anything else for Building and Grounds?
No.
Economic development.
Yeah, Monday morning, I don't know who was all there yet, at our Road and Bridge, Bill DeMuth from the Economic Development was up there and took part in our meeting for about an hour, and old Rex had a chance to visit with him and stuff, and he will be at our meeting tomorrow. We have a meeting tomorrow at the Carnegie Building, our monthly meeting at 4:30, so anybody's sure more than welcome to attend and stuff, so he's been on the job since the 4th. Or whatever. So that's about all I have. And next meeting we should have an updated financial statement and all that. Our treasurer last meeting was gone with some family things, and so we didn't get one then. But we should have one updated, and we'll bring that and let everybody see that. So.
And the phone is ringing, and there are some potential. There's some excitement, so there's some potential. So it is. I mean, Bill's not just there.
No, Bill's not just there. He's been pretty active the last couple of weeks already with some things that I don't know. I can't tell you if they've been out there before or what, or if just because we have somebody or just the timing or what. I don't know. But he's been. I know he's had some meetings and had several conversations with some prospective. Businesses, clients, or whatever. So he's very much so working.
We've already done emergency management. Question.
A couple things to add to emergency management yet. Mark covered most of it. One other item that I want to discuss was he has worked out with his deputies that they're going to start doing some weekend hours to go ahead and cover some of the maintenance on some of the equipment around the county. And I believe he's got somebody that's going to be helping him with the layoff as soon as they get back from vacation. So he has moved forward with getting some help on some of this part-time stuff. The other thing I want to discuss quick was October 6th, there will be the river cleanup. This will be the third one I believe they've had. And there was a request or an ask if we would be willing to take our mobile headquarter unit down there and let them use it. And coming out of the committee, I think that we would recommend that we go ahead and let them use that unit. I have had some talk with one of the rural fire about maybe having an EMS service there. And that person that they're hoping will be able to do that morning is also familiar with the headquarter unit and knows how to operate everything. And Chief Dakey has also said that there's possibility that they might have staff on hand that knows the equipment and everything too. So, I think it would be wise on our part to be a partner to this river cleanup deal and to make sure that we're helping out if they need our help. So, that was the only other thing I had to add to it.
Anything else for emergency management? Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance?
Nothing new.
Insurance or human resource employee relations?
No reports.
Insurance?
Nothing on insurance.
Law enforcement?
Nothing on law enforcement. We handled that through buildings and ground this time.
Boat and bridge, Terry?
Basically, Mark and Deborah covered most of the thing, but a few other little items. Motor grader routes, we're going to reduce them to 5 for a little while, new format. It'll go back that way, but we've got a man down. There is going to be a random bridge audit, I think, tomorrow from the state. Our chairman drove Linden Road and said it was an excellent road.
Yes, it is. Contrary to what's been road.
And had a few complaints after the rain, rock, gravel, roads. It's going to happen. You get a rain like that, it's going to happen. So, but they all got picked up. Rock was hauled. Graders went out. Everything got cleaned up. So that's about it. Anybody?
Okay. Terry, the direction, the guidance of the highway department, are you comfortable with the way everything's gone, the efficiencies in light of everything? Where do you feel we're at compared to the past?
Yeah, we made huge strides as far as I'm concerned. Are there a bunch of, not shouldn't say a bunch, are there some changes yet should happen? Yeah, I think so. We're working on those with Mark. I think there's a lot of improvement been made, but I think there's more improvement could be done. So as far as efficiency, I think we could gain some strides there. So we're working on that yet, and before the end of the year, there's quite a few things, I think a few changes we're going to make or try to make.
Okay. Gary.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think the Road and Bridge Committee and the Highway Department themselves have done a good job. And sometimes people lose sight of, well, we've had a dry year, so, you know, the road should be really good because it's been a dry year. Well, there's difficulties and problems that you deal with on an extra dry year like what we've dealt with. And just like Terry was saying, now that we have a rain, all of a sudden you got complaints because material is off the road or whatever, you know, and it's not an easy deal just because it has been dry. And I think when you come to our county and you go out into the county roads, they are in pretty good shape. And I you know, for a lot of years I've driven them, and I think we're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Overall, so, I think the roads are in pretty good shape. But anytime you have this real dry weather had, and then you get rain on top of that, it absorbs it pretty quick and pretty easily, and it makes it pretty hard to travel on some of them for a while.
And visiting with some of the grader operators and other people, though, in that dry weather, you actually lose base, too. You don't just lose it when you get all this moisture. There's nothing to help hold it. You start getting cracks, and then when it does rain, that absorbs that all. And then we didn't have many issues, really. We just had a road up there south of Firth that was the main one, but I thought we might have more after this. And that took a little bit of work that morning, but they were a lot of phone calls made, and the office down there really worked well with them and handled it well. So, and drove that road Sunday, and it was in good shape.
Roger.
Terry, on that Acton issue regarding using the county right-of-way, I anticipate I will have a memo to the board by the next meeting, so that, you know, if the board so chooses, you can take an action item on it. But I got to talk with Mr. Minnelli. I liked about it, and then I also spoke with the individual, which the applicants. You know, I don't know, have they actually filed an application?
They've filed one, but it hasn't been signed.
Okay, all right.
It's been filed, and that's as far as it's went.
Well, that's fine. I just wanted to know where we were in the process.
Yes.
You know, they had an attorney they wanted me to talk to, which I was able to do that.
Okay.
So I will get that to you folks. It will be marked legal.
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the order? H County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:36. Thank you. Thank you.